Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. My name is Nadia, and today we are doing episode 20. We are going to be talking about a woman in the Bible in the New Testament that we don't often hear too much about. And her name is Priscilla, or Prissa at one point in scripture. She is referred to that way. And so what does Priscilla or Prissa mean? It means ancient. It means worthy. It means venerable. I don't mean vulnerable, but venerable, where a great deal of respect is put towards her age, towards wisdom, or her character. And we will see that truly she does live up to her name, because yes, her name is worthy of respect. And we will see the kind of life that she lived. And so Priscilla, let's talk about Priscilla. Well, first of all, Priscilla lived in a couple of places in the New Testament, which was not very customary for women to be traveling, but she lived in Rome. She lived in Corinth. She lived in Ephesus. And it's very interesting because most people of the ancient world often stayed put, but she was a woman who traveled, and we're going to find out why she traveled. Now, last time in episode 19, we talked about Anna the prophetess, and it was hard to talk about Anna without talking about Simeon. And why was that? Because the two of them were senior in their years, but also in context, they were both waiting for the consolation of Israel. They were both waiting for the Messiah. And so in that particular story in Luke chapter 2, we see that they were in the temple, and that's why in the temple when Jesus was dedicated. And so that's why I had to kind of talk about Simeon also. Well, in today's story, as we talk about Priscilla, we have to talk about her other half, and his name was Aquila. And it's quite interesting because anytime Priscilla is mentioned in scripture, she's mentioned six times in scripture. Anytime she's mentioned, Aquila is mentioned. Anytime Aquila is mentioned, Priscilla is mentioned. So the two of them, they were another dynamic duo, just like Anna and Simeon. And today, as I talk about Priscilla, I'm going to have to talk about Aquila too, because everything they did together. And we will see that in the six scriptures that they are mentioned, three times Priscilla comes first and three times Aquila comes first. So you automatically, even before we start this story, you automatically see that they are one, that they are together in everything. And even when you say Priscilla and Aquila, you can see that it's harmonious, just even how we say their names. So they labored in the Lord together, and we're going to discover some really important principles about Priscilla as we look at the six various scriptures of this incredible husband and wife team. So before we start the first scripture, before we look into that, I will give you just a little bit of context. So it is 52 AD, and Priscilla and Aquila live in Rome. And at that time, Claudius was the emperor, and Jews were being persecuted, and he didn't care whether Jews were found innocent or guilty. He didn't care. The point was, he made a decree that all Jews were to be banished from Rome. So they were sent out. And that's exactly what happened to Priscilla and Aquila. They were living in Rome, and then they were banished. So let's look. We'll start with Acts chapter 18, verse 1. And we're going to uncover some incredible truths as we look at the six various scriptures that talk about Priscilla and Aquila. So, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus. Now, Pontus, just so you know, Pontus was an area in Asia Minor, and it was located just in today's present-day Turkey, just on the coast of the Black Sea. So you understand that. So Aquila was from Pontus. It's possible that his wife Priscilla was also from Pontus. We don't know that, but just to show you the travels in their lives. So watch this. So speaking of, he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he, speaking of Paul, was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Now, we'll just talk about Aquila a little bit. Every Jewish boy, so Aquila was Jewish. He was born in the area of Pontus, which was present-day Turkey. And every Jewish boy had to learn some kind of trade. And his trade was tent making. And even though there were many homes back then that were built of stone, many homes were tents. And so it was a very good business to be a tent maker. And clearly he must have taught his wife Priscilla to be a tent maker. He taught her the trade, because in reality, in the ancient world, not many women worked outside of their homes. They were homemakers, and we don't see that Priscilla is a homemaker. We see that she worked alongside Aquila together in the tent making business. And what was interesting is, as we're going to uncover, through this tent making business, they used it for God's glory. So ladies, whatever you do in your lives, whatever talents God has given you, you are to use it for God's glory. It is not to accumulate a kingdom for ourselves or wealth for ourselves, but we are to use whatever we are given for God's glory. Now, this is kind of interesting. Last couple of years, I started making cupcakes, and it all started with my eldest daughter. She had a lot of friends. Sometimes they had little get-togethers and parties, let's say for gender reveals, etc. And I was making cupcakes, and I was told by my daughters, all three daughters, "Mom, you should do a cupcake business." But I was in full-time ministry, and I had no time for this. And they said, "Well, Mom, you could just do it along the side. Just do it at your own pace. You can say no whenever you want." And I thought, cupcakes, do I really care for cupcakes? And I realized that as I was practicing this, it was a talent that God gave me. And so I realized I have to use this talent for his kingdom. So now that we're retired, I'm making cupcakes along the sides for birthdays and weddings and bridal showers, and I'm doing all of this, but there's a reason why I'm doing it. It's to sow into the kingdom of God. And so I give a large chunk of it away so that Bibles could be sent overseas to persecuted Christians, to those that need the gospel. And so that for me brings me satisfaction, that I'm actually doing this cupcake business for, even though it's a small little thing that I run here at home, I'm using it for his glory. And so all this to say that whatever we do, we have to do for the glory of God. We cannot bury talents that God has given us. Use your talents for God's glory. And we will see how Priscilla and Aquila use this tent making business for God's glory. So there they were. They were working side by side. And so you have to picture this. They are banished from Rome. They have to leave Rome. Where do they end up? They end up in Corinth. Corinth is a place in modern day Greece. And so they end up there. They probably in a marketplace set up a business where they could make tents together. And what was interesting was, it was such perfect timing. Here was Paul. He left Athens. He came to Corinth to look for opportunities. Opportunities for what? Number one, to share the gospel. And so it was all about Jesus, speaking about Jesus, his Lord and Savior, and speaking to the Jews. And so this was his primary desire, to share the gospel. But he also had to have a livelihood. Why? To sustain himself. So he was a tent maker. And so clearly, as he went into the marketplace, who does he run into? He runs into Priscilla and Aquila. And so verse 3, here it says, so because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers. And so what do we see? We see automatically getting into the story, not only was he a tent maker and that they took him in regarding as an employee to work together, but they took him into their home. So you see that Priscilla had the gift of hospitality. She had kindness, and so did Aquila. They took Paul into their home and they became instant friends. Now, we don't know about Priscilla and Aquila, what their lives were like back in Rome. Were they Christians? We don't know. But we can tell right off the bat that if they took Paul in, they clearly heard his message, because he was enthusiastic. He was zealous. He had contagious Christianity that he could not but talk about Jesus. And so they heard about Jesus. So here they were, this wonderful couple who did everything together. They were exiled together. They were banished together. They lived together. They worked together. And now they were one together in Christ. They were completed in him. Ladies, if you want true oneness in a marriage, it is only acquired and established by making Christ the foundation of your home. And that's what every marriage needs today. Every marriage needs Christ to be the foundation of the home, because then you will see the fruit of your marriage, of your lives, and you will live harmoniously together in unity, just like Priscilla and Aquila did. And so here we see verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So not only did he live with them, but he was speaking in the synagogue. And one can only imagine that Priscilla and Aquila attended that synagogue to hear more about the Lord. They were growing in God. So picture this, ladies. Here they were. They were working together with Paul. So Paul undoubtedly didn't talk about the weather, or didn't talk about what was happening next door with the neighbors, or didn't talk about things like that, but talked about the Lord. So they were growing in the Lord while they worked. Undoubtedly, once work was over, they sat down around the table and broke bread and talked about the Lord some more. And then they were growing more. And then even in the synagogue, Priscilla and Aquila were growing. Talk about intense Bible study. Now, we see right after that, in here in Acts chapter 18, we see right after that, and we're not going to read that portion, but eventually Paul stopped preaching in the synagogue because not everybody received him. Not everybody. But he was undaunted by that. But next door to the synagogue was a man whose name was Justus. And he ended up at his house. He was teaching in his house, so much so that the chief leader Crispus of the synagogue came to be a believer. And so Paul was teaching in Justus's house. And there we see how Paul was affecting the area of Corinth. Now, how long was Paul in Corinth? How long was he? Was he there for a week? Was he there for a month? How long was he there? How long did he stay with Aquila and Priscilla? Well, verse 11 of chapter 18 says, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Oh, what does this tell you? You can, again, only picture how much Priscilla and Aquila were growing in the word of God. A year and a half of this intense Bible study. So here they were, busy with their business and taking care of their business, and at the same time being hospitable to Paul, at the same time being at the synagogue, and their primary focus was Christ. Let me tell you, in our own lives, what is our excuse when it comes time to spending time with the Lord? You know, so often we wonder, oh, you know, I'm so busy. I have my business. I have my family. I have this to take care of, that to take care of. We only give the scraps over to God. Listen, ladies, how important it is. Here we are in a new year. And this isn't about resolutions, but this is about spiritual goals. Do you have a spiritual goal to spend more time with the Lord, to be more intense in your prayer life, more intense in the study of the Word of God? Think about it. There's something that is common between you and between me, no matter where you're watching from or listening, but one thing that we do have in common, and everybody has in common, everyone that is breathing, it doesn't matter what kind of background you come from, what your ethnicity is, what you do for a living. One thing that we have in common today is that we're given 24 hours. We're all given 24 hours each day. How do we take our time and give our time to the Lord? You know, in the Old Testament, they would tithe. They would tithe of their flock. They would tithe of their harvest. They would tithe with the money that they have. And even today, we tithe. We give one-tenth. We should be giving one-tenth back to the Lord. What do we have in common, you and me, and everybody that's listening? Time. Time. We all have 24 hours. Imagine if we were to tithe our time. If you were to give one-tenth of your time during the day to the Lord. Think about that. Some of us, it's just like, thank you, Lord, for this food. Or at the end of the day, thank you, Lord, you've given me a great day. And that's it. If you were to tithe your time, let's just say we sleep 8 hours a night, which would be glorious, wouldn't it? But if we tithe 16 hours of that 16-hour day, if we gave 1.6 hours to the Lord every day of reading, praying, sharing God's word, doing something, giving back to God, oh, how our lives, excuse me, would be revolutionized. Think about that. Are you willing to make a goal like that for 2025, to tithe your time to the Lord? Give back to the Lord. He's not concerned about our money. He's concerned about our treasure, and our treasure is time. And so he's given us that time. Would you give back every single day? Tithe your day to the Lord? That is food for thought. And here was Priscilla and Aquila. They were busy with their tent making and busy with their lives, but yet you can see that their lives were completely devoted to the Lord. And so they grew, and they grew exponentially. And so here we see right after that, Paul decided it was time. A year and a half had gone by. It was time to move on. He was ready to set sail to Syria. What happened? Let's see what happened. Verse 18, so Paul still remained a good while, and then he took leave of the brethren, this is the brethren there in Corinth, and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this feast in Jerusalem, this coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return to, I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea, which is in Israel on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. So, paraphrasing all of this, here it was time to leave Corinth. He had to set sail for Syria. His goal was to go to Jerusalem, then of course to Antioch. Who came with him? Priscilla and Aquila. What do we see with this? We see that they followed him. We see that their tent making business, although it was important, was not important enough. They were willing to leave all to follow Paul. Why? Because God was first. And they were willing to go and spread the gospel and do whatever it took to follow God fully. Where did they end up? They ended up in Ephesus. That's where we get the book of Ephesians. Ephesus is in Turkey. Lord willing, this coming September, my husband, myself, we're going to be following the footsteps of Paul and going to places like Ephesus and Corinth. And we're going on a tour to see these places, of course, where Priscilla and Aquila were at, as well as Paul. And so there was Priscilla and Aquila. They left Corinth, they went to Ephesus, they left their tent making business, and there they were sacrificing, making a new life or new lives for themselves. Why? Because God was first, because God was more important than their own livelihood, than their own tent making business. And this is the thing. If you are obedient, how many times have I seen people leave their secular jobs to go into ministry or go into the thing that God is calling them to do? If you are obedient to that, let me tell you, God is going to open doors for you. He will provide for you because he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And so here we see that Priscilla and Aquila, God took care of them, and I'll show you why in a moment, but let's now jump to verse 24 and let's see what happens with Priscilla and Aquila. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. Alexandria is in Egypt. It's very interesting. My in-laws were born in Alexandria. They were Greeks and lived in Egypt, were born there. And so here was this Apollos, this Jewish man born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. And this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. And he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So, what do we see right here with Priscilla and Aquila? There they were living in Ephesus, and you know, they were establishing a business. They started a new life there. Well, clearly they were going to the synagogue regularly while Paul was and moved on to Antioch. Clearly they were there, and one day they heard a man by the name of Apollos who spoke there. Now, when he spoke, he only spoke of John the Baptist. He did not know the full gospel. So what did Priscilla do and Aquila do? Together, they took him aside and explained to him that the Messiah had come, that the Messiah not only came, but he had a ministry on earth, the Messiah that John the Baptist spoke about, whose sandals he was not worthy to untie. Here the Messiah came. He came, he ministered, he healed, he taught, he was crucified for our sins, and not only that, was resurrected and now lives. And they clearly spoke to Apollos, showing him the full gospel, showed him the way. How did they know that? Well, it was through the teaching of Paul himself. So look how much they grew in the word of God. So much so that they were instrumental in teaching Apollos, who many biblical scholars say he was an incredible scholar himself, to the point that he was almost elevated as high as Paul, to the point that he was almost elevated as high as Peter, Cephas. Look what later on, what Paul said regarding Apollos in 1 Corinthians 1:12. This is what Paul wrote. Paul said, "Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas," which of course was Peter, "or I am of Christ." So this just goes to show you the kind of impact. Apollos was right up there. We don't hear too much of Apollos, but he was right up there in his teaching ways and how many people he impacted with the gospel. And look, Priscilla and Aquila were instrumental in teaching him the full gospel. Would you see that? How incredible. And so, ladies, you have to understand, not all of us are called to be preachers. Aquila and Priscilla were not called to be preachers, but they were teaching and they were fellow workers in Christ. And, you know, for you and for myself, like I said, we're not all called to preach, but, or to be preachers on a pulpit, but we are called to preach in the sense of being preaching in season and out of season, sharing the gospel with people. It doesn't matter where you are, ladies, at what point in your life you are at, whether you are a student in school, or whether you have your own business, or you're a homemaker, or you're a senior at home. We all have the opportunity where we could share with someone. We all go out there in the world where we can tell somebody about Christ, whether it be at the cash at Walmart, as the cashier scanning items, you can tell them about the love of Jesus. You can tell somebody about the love of Jesus in a cafe, or wherever you are, a student, workplace, wherever. We can tell somebody about Christ and look at the impact that they both had. And later on, we see, look at what happens later on. We're going to jump to the book of Romans. We find that because Paul is writing a letter to the Romans. And as he's writing a letter to the Romans, he says, greet Aquila and Priscilla, greet them. What? They're back in Rome? So here we see that Aquila and Priscilla from Ephesus later on go back to Rome once Claudius the emperor had died. And look what is said about them. This is really important. So Romans chapter 16, verses 3-5, we're going to see some important insights right here. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Jesus Christ. Oh, how he greatly esteems them. We see that. Who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And so, right there we see they are fellow workers in Christ. This wasn't just a one-time thing. These two were traveling around. Their whole purpose was to see people grow in Christ. They were working together with Paul. They went back to Rome, and Paul is saying, greet them, Romans, greet them, because they are there right now. And not only that, but they risk their own necks for his life. What does this mean? We don't even know what it means, but it certainly means that they protected him, that they risked their lives. You know, ladies, sometimes when it comes to the gospel, our biggest risk is, oh, what is this person going to think about me? Are they going to reject me? Are, you know, we're almost afraid to share the gospel. These two were ready to risk their own lives. Oh, how we need to take it a notch higher. We have to worry less about what other people think about ourselves or our reputations or whatever it is, but we have to boldly speak the gospel. And they risked their own lives, two dear friends, so much so that Paul recognizes it and he gives thanks. And the churches, the Gentile churches, gave thanks for Priscilla and Aquila. Why? Because here they were, so full of the Spirit of God. They wanted to see the kingdom of God advance. And what else do we see in the scripture? Verse 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their home. Ladies, do you see that? Do you remember when they were in Ephesus, or rather in Corinth, primarily? When they were in Corinth, they did not have a big enough home. And Paul had to go next door to the synagogue and have home Bible study in Justice's house. That's where he was having Bible study. Well, now the church was in their house. Do you see how God prospered them in their tent making? Do you see that God prospered them? And so much so, because they put the gospel first, clearly they had enough money to get a bigger house. And what did they use their resources for? They used their resources so that the gospel would be spread. Do you see that? How important it is. Oh, and ladies, how important it is to use our resources. Once again, to talk about this, ladies, you can use your home for evangelism. You can use your home to invite somebody over for coffee and share the gospel for the first time. You might not even be able to go out. You may be kind of homebound, but you can invite somebody over and share the gospel. You can invite somebody over for dinner and share the gospel. You can invite a youth group over to your house if you have a bigger house and have youth group meetings there. You can have a Bible study over at your house. You can use your home in unlimited ways. What God has given you, give back to Him. You know, my daughter, she holds a home Bible study, and we have about 40 to 50 people come out, young adults coming out to this Bible study that are hungry for God. She loves sharing the gospel with people, and she uses that, and she's always thinking of different ways. We were just on the phone the other day of how to advance the gospel, how to find new vision and new ways of just sharing the gospel with others, because she has a heartbeat for evangelism. All of us need to have that heartbeat for evangelism, because yes, we are living in a world that is corrupt, that is dying, and we know that Jesus is coming back soon. So how do we make sure that every day counts in trying to spread the word of God? We need to be more mindful of that, ladies. If this year is going to be the same as last year, then that's a problem. So we need to have vision. We need to have insight. We need to ask God to open these doors and use us in ways where we can bring the gospel to others. How are you being used? And here we see Priscilla and Aquila being used to advance the kingdom of God. And so, finally, when Paul left Antioch on his third missionary journey, and he returned to Ephesus, and he was there for 3 years in Ephesus, and he wrote his first letter to the Corinthians at that time. And while he was there, again, he said, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Do you see what happened right here? Here, Aquila and Priscilla, they're not in Rome anymore. They started their little home church. They started a church. They're back in Ephesus. And that's why Paul said to the Corinthians, he says, they greet you. In other words, they were with Paul again, and they were in Ephesus. And what did they have? They had another home church, and they had enough money to start this home church. Isn't that beautiful? Do we see that? Do we see how God used them in a mighty way? Why? Because they were sold out to his purposes. They were sold out to bringing the gospel forward. Oh yeah, they weren't preachers like Apollos or Paul or Peter, but they were open to whatever God had for them, and they were willing to follow. Look how beautiful that is, and God would continue to use them. So one more time here in the New Testament, the sixth time, 16 years later, after Paul met them in Corinth, he is now back in Rome, second time imprisoned. He is in Rome writing his farewell, because Nero was the emperor at that time. Execution was imminent for Paul. He was going to be martyred. And there he was writing a letter to Timothy. And Timothy was in Ephesus at that time. And so when he was writing to Timothy, it was a farewell address. And what did he say? He said in 2 Timothy 4:19, he said, "Greet Prissa, almost not Priscilla, as I mentioned before. She was also called Prissa, almost more endearing. Greet Prissa and Aquila and the house of Onesiphorus. And think about this. Here he is in his bleak circumstances, ready to die. Who's on his heart? His dear fellow workers, the fellow workers, Priscilla and Aquila. And you have to understand that no two characters, aside from Timothy, because Paul mentioned Timothy and Titus, and they were his fellow, no two fellow workers were mentioned as much as Priscilla and Aquila in the New Testament. That's how dear and how instrumental these two workers were to Paul. He loved them. He recognized them. And yes, Priscilla probably had her bad days. We don't see anything about her going through difficulties. They went through difficulties in their lives, but what made them so much of forefront characters in the New Testament was because they were sold out to the gospel and pushing forward the kingdom of God. It was all about Jesus. It was all about getting the gospel out. And so what do we conclude about Priscilla and Aquila? Well, they went through tough times together. They were exiled together. They worked together. They grew in the Lord together. There was oneness in the Lord, oneness in spirit, oneness in their marriage. They were hospitable and kind towards Paul. They took him in. They were there for him. Not only that, but they followed him. They left their business. They left not knowing where they were going, but they trusted the Lord, and the Lord prospered them. Not so much so that God used them to minister to Apollos, and he became even a greater preacher from what he learned from them. And then, of course, they had home church. They started churches in their homes, in Rome, in Ephesus. God used them greatly. They risked their lives for Paul, as mentioned before. They were ready to die for Paul. And you know what? Two historians, Eusebius and Hippocrate, both mention, as historians, this is not found in the Bible, but that Aquila was martyred for his faith, both historians. And so if Aquila was martyred for his faith, chances are, we don't know what happened to Priscilla, but chances are she was too, because she was always by his side. And clearly back in those days, there were no respecter of persons, in the sense that they weren't just going to kill men, but they killed women for the gospel also. And so we can only imagine that she also died in her faith. We don't know, but chances are she did. Wow, talk about how they followed the Lord fully. And so, ladies, today, for those of you that are single, if you want, you know, sometimes the women of today, you know, we have all these different characteristics that we look for in a man. You know, he has to be this and that and so tall and this kind of job. Listen, the most important characteristic you are to look for in a man is that he is sold out to Jesus Christ. Because you want true oneness in your marriage. You want to grow together with the same vision, with the same purpose. Find somebody in Christ. And Priscilla and Aquila were joined at the hip. They were flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. They did everything together. And clearly, when they were going to stand before the Lord together, they will be equally rewarded. Because we see they did everything equally before God. What an incredible testimony of Priscilla and Aquila. We learn so much from their lives today. Ladies, let's just pray. Let's just pray as we thank the Lord for their lives. Father, we just thank you. We thank you once again for another great testimony of characters in the Bible, Priscilla and Aquila. And Lord Jesus, we see how they were together in all things, but most importantly, one in spirit. And Lord Jesus, thank you for the testimony that they left. Thank you, Jesus, that clearly it wasn't their tent making that was first in their lives and making money, but you were first and foremost, that they were ready to forsake all, that they were ready to leave their tent-making business to follow Paul on his excursions, that they were ready, Lord, even to die for Paul. They risked their lives. Oh God, may we be people that are not afraid of other people when it comes to sharing the gospel, but may evangelism be first and foremost also in our lives. Lord, some of us are too comfortable, and forgive us of that, oh God. And that as we are here in a new year, we just pray, Jesus, that you give us vision, you give us insight, you give us a heart for the lost, that, Lord, we would truly evangelize. And as I said earlier, that we would preach in season and out of season, that, Lord, we would look for opportunities to share the gospel, because, Lord, you are coming back soon. And Father, help us not to sit back, but, Lord, that we would boldly proclaim your goodness, proclaim life, proclaim that you are the life, you are the answer, that you are the one people are to turn to. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that, Lord, you would loose tongues today. As women are watching, loose our tongues, that we would speak boldly for you. That, Lord Jesus, we would open up our homes for you. That we would, Lord, again, consistently look for opportunities of how we can use our talents, how we can use our resources, how you can use what you have given us for the glory of your kingdom and for the proclamation of your name. And so, Father, once again, we commit our lives to you, and give us goals, give us insight. Lord, help us to start each day on how we are going to proclaim your name, how you are going to be lifted up, and not to be so consumed about the different problems we are going through. But Lord, you are calling us to be ambassadors. You are calling us to be evangelists. You are calling us to proclaim the good news. And so, Lord, take us where we need to go. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name, as we commit another day unto you, we love you and we praise you. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, thank you, ladies. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Priscilla, and talk about an incredible testimony that she left. And she is, sometimes we think she's such an obscure character, but I love these characters that sometimes we don't pay too much attention to, and we should, because there's so much to be learned from all these biblical characters. And I pray that you were blessed today. So I pray blessing upon your lives, ladies, and remember, make today count in the kingdom of God. Let this be a brand new day where God gives you new vision, new insight, new things that you can do for the kingdom of God that will reap many rewards into eternity. Love you, ladies, and God bless you and your families. Until next time, may the Lord be with you. Bye for now.